Penguin Audio presents I Was Told There'd Be Cake, written and read by Sloane Crosley. The Pony Problem. As most New Yorkers have done, I have given serious and generous thought to the state of my apartment should I get killed during the day. Say someone pushes me onto the subway tracks, or I get accidentally blown up, or a woman with a headset and a baby carriage wheels over my big toe, backing me into some scaffolding, which shakes loose a lead pipe, which lands on my skull. What then? After the ambulance, the hospital, the funeral, the trays of cheese cubes on foil toothpicks. Back in the apartment I never should have left, the bed has gone unmade and the dishes unwashed. The day I get shot in a bodega, buying cigarettes, naturally, will in all likelihood be the day before Laundry Sunday and the day after I decided to clean out my closet, got bored halfway through, and opted to watch sitcoms in my prom dress instead. I have pictured my loved ones coming into my apartment to collect my things, and I have hoped that it would only be lived-in messy. Bras drying on the shower curtain rod, muddy sneakers by the door. But that is never going to happen. My dust balls alone have a manifest destiny that drives them far beyond the ruffle of the same name. I like to think these hypothetical loved ones would persist in their devotion to dead me no matter what. They would literally be blinded by grief, too upset putting sweaters in boxes to notice that I hadn't dry cleaned them in a year. That is, until one of them made his or her way to the kitchen. "Where are you going?" my father would ask. "Packing up her bedroom's much too painful," my mother would tell him, choking back the tears. "I'm going to start on the kitchen." This is the part I dread. This is the part where my mother would open the drawer beneath my sink, only to discover my stash of plastic toy ponies. There are about 7 of them in there. Correction, one is a Pegasus, blue with ice skates. The rest vary in size, texture, and realism. Some are covered in brown felt, some have rhinestone eyes. Some come with their own grooming brushes, others with the price sticker still on their haunches. If they arrived in plastic and cardboard packaging, they remain unopened, as if they will appreciate like Star Wars figurines. Perhaps they are not the dirtiest of dirty secrets, but they're about as high as one can get on the oddity scale without a ringer like toenail clippings. I'm not exactly sure how the ponies happened, though I have an inkling. "Can I get you anything?" I'll say, getting up from a dinner table. "Coffee, tea, a pony." People rarely laugh at this, especially if they've heard it before. "This party's supposed to be fun," a friend will say. "Really?" I'll respond. "Will there be pony rides?" It's a nervous tic and a cheap joke, cheapened further by the frequency with which I use it. For that same reason, it's hard to weed out of my speech. Most of the time, I don't even realize I'm saying it. There are little elements in a person's life, minor fibers that become unintentionally tangled with our personality. Sometimes it's a patent phrase, sometimes it's a perfume, sometimes it's a wristwatch. For me, it is the constant referencing of ponies. I don't even like ponies. If I made one of my throwaway equine requests and someone produced an actual pony, Juan Valdez style, I would run very fast in the other direction. During a few summers at camp, I rode a chronically dehydrated pony named Brandy, who would jolt down without notice to lick the grass outside the corral, and I would careen forward, my helmet tipping to cover my eyes. I do, however, like ponies in the abstract. Who doesn't? It's like those movies with animated insects. Sure, the baby cockroach seems cute with the CGI eyelashes, but how would you feel about 50 of her real-life counterparts living in your oven? And that's precisely the manner in which the ponies clomp their way into my regular speech. Abstractly. "I have something for you," a guy will say on our first date. "Is it a pony?" No. It's usually a movie ticket or his cell phone number or a slobbery tongue kiss. But on our second date, if I ask again, I'm pretty sure I'm getting a pony. And thus the pony drawer came to be. It's uncomfortable to admit, but almost every guy I have ever dated has unwittingly made a contribution to the stable. The retro pony from the 50s was from the most thoughtful guy I have ever known. The one with the glitter horseshoes was from a boy who would later turn out to be gay. The one with the rainbow haunches was from a pot dealer, and the one with the price tag stuck on the back was given to me by a narcissist who was so impressed with his gift he forgot to remove the sticker. Each one of them marks...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?